Sean Campbell from TSN in 690 Montreal joins us. Sean, I was reading online, obviously most Canadian fans are pretty happy about this contract.
Yeah, really, not much negativity when it comes to the signing of Jeff Petrie, 6 years, $33 million of $5.5 million. You would think, oh, that's a pretty big hit. But, of course, you know, you got to look at the grand scheme of things. You're signing a guy that's 27 years old. So I think the Habs fans, Habs Nation, over the last few days, their reaction, social media, and calling the radio station has been quite positive. Really haven't found much negativity on the Jeff Petrie signing. I think they really liked him when he came over.
Him and Subban kind of locked up, I guess, as the number one and number two right shot defenseman in Montreal for the next few seasons. What does this mean for Emelin long term?
Well, what it means right now is Emelin long term, he has a contract. I think if Marc Bergevin could decide to move him and there was a taker, he probably would, because I think it's, you know, $4 million a year. He's still got 3 years left on that deal. And if you watch the playoffs, and even if you watch down the stretch for the Montreal Canadiens, the physicality was upped almost by Greg Patterson. Greg Patterson, who still has a year left on his contract, is $500,000. He's dirt cheap. And the difference between Yemlin and Patterson by the end of the season was very minimal. The one thing I'll say, though, is Marc Bergevin did go out of his way at the end of the year saying he really liked Yemlin playing with Petrie, and he thought that Petrie upped Yemlin's game. And I think where they were, the Canadians, prior to getting Jeff Petrie, was they wanted Alexi Yemlin to be their number three defenseman. That's not the case anymore. And they paid him to be a number three defenseman with $4 million per year. Now, with the acquisition of Petrie, you have Markov for 2 years, you have PK Subban, that kind of pushes him down the chart. That's fine, because he's probably more suited to be a bottom part of, you know, a 5-6-4 defenseman, and he can play on a second pairing with the right guy. But then you're looking at the price tag and you're going, $4 million. So I think if Marc Bergevin could move him for the right piece, he will, but I don't know if he's going to touch that blue line. He may go forward with exactly the way it is right now.
Tom Gilbert has 1 year left in the deal. Obviously, he'll stick around. The Canadians really aren't in a major cap crunch at all. Galchenyuk, really the only guy I would think that's, he needs a new contract right away. What kind of numbers, based on what they did with PK Subban a year ago, I'm assuming Montreal is looking more for a bridge contract with Galchenyuk?
Yeah, I think a lot of the talk was they wanted to get Galchenyuk a deal similar to what Gallagher signed earlier this year. However, it seems that Galchenyuk held off. He really didn't want to jump in on that. And I don't think these are going to be easy negotiations for Marc Bergevin or for Alex Galchenyuk. Alex Galchenyuk didn't finish the season very well. Everybody knows that there's a lot of hope and promise with him. He kind of had that flash at center for about 15 games. He picked up some points, but then he was pushed back to the wing, and he's more comfortable at the wing, but does he want to play center? I could see definitely a bridge deal. I would think that you're looking at $2.5-3 million. The Canadiens have about $7-8 million to play around with. They still need to sign RFA Nathan Beaulieu. I know that they want to bring Torrey Mitchell back as well. And so that means if the Canadiens want to bring in a big piece up front, it's probably going to have to be via trade, because at that point, you're really getting closer to the cap. And Marc Bergevin actually doesn't like operating right under the cap. He likes to have a little flexibility heading into the trade deadline.
The Montreal Canadiens, they need scoring, Sean. I think it was obvious, yep, in the playoffs that you can have a great goaltender and you can have pretty decent defense, but if you can't score, you can't win. And after Max Pacioretty, there's really a big drop when it comes to like a scary guaranteed score.
No, they have one goal scorer on the team, and it's Max Pacioretty. And then what they want is it to be Alex Galchenyuk. And the promise and the hope is that Alex Galchenyuk can one day be a 25-30 goal scorer. However, he scored 20 this year. That's not where they want him to be. He's heading into year number four. I think they preferred him to be maybe on a level of, you know, Brendan Gallagher. Gallagher hit 24. That's a great number for him. But when I watch Gallagher, I think that's what Gallagher is. What you see now with Gallagher, you'll get for the rest of his career. You're going to get 20 to 25 goals, hard-nosed minutes, and, you know, a good season for him will be about 50 points. I'd be floored if he goes, maybe he might have one 30-goal season in him. It's possible. Guys can go like that. But that's the kind of player Gallagher. He's not a bona fide goal scorer in the NHL. So, yeah, they need to go get one. Look at the free agent crop up front. There aren't any.
No.
There aren't. That's why I think if they're going to do something, you're going to see something at the draft table is going to be a blockbuster deal, and they're going to have to move somebody, and you're going to be, wow, Mark Bergevin really wants that score. Or he's going to go status quo, because I'll tell you right now, I don't really see anybody in Hamilton, or nope, sorry, St. John's, they're in St. John's now, that is ready to go and be a regular scorers at the NHL level right now.
And I guess that's why, if you want to fill a deficiency, you've got to trade from a strength, and that's going to be on the back end. And that's why I wonder with a guy like Alexi Emelin, who, you know what, he's a 4.1 cap, he's a physical defenseman, at times can be a little bit inconsistent, but, you know, most would look at him and as a number four defenseman, maybe to five, depending on what your team is, that maybe they felt like they could get a number six like forward for them. Is that the route you think he's going to have to take? Because I'm with you. I'm not sure I see guys like Galchenyuk can improve, but, you know, is this guy going to suddenly become like a 35, 70-point guy? I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's what they'd like. But you're right with the Alexi Yemlin. If there's a deal out there, then I think they're going to go with it. But that's the thing with Alexi Yemlin. He didn't have the year that they wanted him to have. You know, they didn't want to be in a situation at the trade deadline where they wanted to go out and acquire a defenseman. Now, he will always acquire a defenseman, but that wasn't really his game plan. I think his game plan changed when Alexi Yemlin really struggled to be a number three. When he's on and he's playing at his maximum, like when he plays the Boston Bruins, okay, I would just get tape and watch Alexi Yemlin versus the Boston Bruins. He is phenomenal. He plays a certain style. He gets under the skin. He doesn't back down, and he gets everybody off their game. But he only played them five times this year, you know? That was it. Mm-hmm. So it was maybe 12 good games for Alexi Yemlin. Those good games were great, but it's just not enough at the NHL level. So if there's a team willing to take him and you can get a bona fide top six forward, I can see this deal happening. But that's – I don't know how many teams are out there. I know everybody – Alexi Yemlin can play in this game. In this league, and you know, he's not a 5-6. I think he is a second pairing guy, but you have to make sure you have the right guy with him.
Sean Campbell joins us. Sean, who do you like in the Stanley Cup Finals?
I like Chicago. We've been talking. I was on with Chris Nyland today, and we were chatting it up, and we were trying to convince which way he was going to go with his pick, and he came alongside with me, and I was, you know, I just, the experience is something that I've always looked at when I look at a Stanley Cup final. And I look at Duncan Keith versus Victor Hedman. I love Victor Hedman. He's not Duncan Keith. I look at Taves and Kane, and I love Stamkos and Johnson. They're just not Taves and Kane. So to me, I got to go with the experience. I got to go with the team that's been there before. I got to go with the team that if they're down 3-1 in the series, I still believe that they're going to be coming back and winning that series. So I got Chicago, but I'm hoping for a long, fun series in seven.
Tampa Bay's top six forwards are very scary right now. Their bottom six forwards almost invisible, at least offensively anyway. Chicago, of course, they've got Kane and Taves going really well. They need Marian Hossa to pick up. And even Brendan Saad, I know he's got six goals, but really hasn't chipped in on any other offense.
Yeah, it's really interesting to watch kind of how these teams went through. And it was fun watching Anaheim and Chicago because the offense was coming. Kane and Taves and Getzlaff and Perry, all the top players were being the top players. And we've seen it 100% with the Tampa Bay Lightning. The triplets, phenomenal throughout the playoffs. Steven Stamkos, he started slow against Detroit, but against Montreal and New York, he's picked up the pace and he has been lights out the last two rounds. And that's what you want from your captain. That's what you want from your superstar player. And as good as Tyler Johnson has played in these playoffs, to me, the engine that runs that offense is still Steven Stamkos. So, yeah, I think in the finals, we're going to see a lot of the same thing. I'm curious who's going to be that kind of hero in the bottom six. Will it be an Andrew Desjardins, maybe a Cedric Paquette with a key goal in overtime or something? But to me, this is all about the superstars. This is all about the top-end talent, and I think that's why the world's going to watch.
You look at Tampa Bay, they're in Montreal's division, right? Like, that's kind of the great part now of the new format in the NHL playoffs. It's you kind of have a feeling of which of the teams you're going to have to be better than, ultimately, if you want to get to the Stanley Cup. And Tampa Bay and Montreal are in that division. And you look at how Tampa's built, and, man, they got six legit scores offensively. You know, Montreal's, don't you think they're going to have to somehow make some sort of moves between now and let's say next year's trade deadline if they really want to compete against Tampa? Because Tampa owned them in the regular season and then beat them in the playoffs.
Yeah, and that's the thing in the playoffs. I think Montreal did a better showing in the playoffs than they did in the regular season versus Tampa, and I know that they were down 3-0, and they battled back. That was just a little too tough, and you had that last-second goal. You had an overtime winner by Kucherov, and then you had that last-second goal with 0.1 seconds left that really hurt the Canadiens, and I know that they battled and competed. So I think that they believe that they're not far off to where Tampa is. The problem is, if you look at Tampa, not much is going to change from that team to next year. And the Canadiens, I don't know how much is going to change unless there's something major. And I don't see anything major happening with Tampa Bay. And I don't know if Marc Bergevin is ready to pull that trigger for something huge unless the right deal is there. He might just go, I can't do that. I'm going to go forward. I still think that the Canadiens have that edge with Carey Price versus Ben Bishop, but Bishop, he's proven his worth. What did he do against the New York Rangers? Games 5 and 7 at MSG, he gets the shutouts. So, and he's got another round in the Stanley Cup final against the Chicago Blackhawks. He proves it again. That guy is going into next season with a whole level, a different level of confidence. And then you're talking about him being part of the elite goaltender along with Carey Price. And Ben Bishop has owned the Canadiens. So I think when you line it up in the matchup between the two teams, it's going to be some adjustments, especially on that offense, like you said. And I know everybody said it. They need goal. I just don't know where they're going to get it, the Canadiens, in the offseason to match what Tampa has done. And I don't know if Marc Bergevin wants to build his team around what Tampa has done, because I don't think he can, because he doesn't have a Stamkos. You know, he doesn't have a Johnson. He has a Victor Hedman in his PK Subban, but he doesn't have that high-end offensive talent.
No, and it's hard to find, and you know they've obviously developed some guys very well. John Cooper also, you know, I look at the system. You know, he lets his top guys, you know, freewheel and be creative in the whole system they play. And I know there's some criticism people in Montreal feel that, you know, maybe guys like Gallagher and Galchenyuk and them could produce more if they were given more free reign. What do you think?
Yeah, look, I listen to every day on TSN, and everybody hates the Therrien system. I kind of disagree. I don't mind Therrien's system because he's playing to his roster, you know. And when you watch Alex Galchenyuk start to freewheel and do whatever he can, he gets in trouble. He just tries to dangle guys. He gets poke checked and it goes the other way. And that's one of the things that he's struggled with. You know, they have Max Pacioretty, who has free reign when he's in the offensive zone to shoot and do whatever he wants. But again, where's his elite centerman to get him the puck? He had David Desharnais for a while. Then it went to Alex Galchenyuk. He finished the year with Thomas Plekanec. You know, it's been a rotation. They still have a big question mark at that number one center position, not having a legitimate one, where you have a legitimate one and two with the Tampa Bay Lightning. So I don't know if it's a system. I have no problem with the way Michel Therrien coaches the team, because he's playing to his roster. He understands the best way for the Canadiens to win hockey games is 2-1. It just is, because they don't have the guys. They get offensive chances. The Canadiens get chances all the time, but that's the difference. You have Brendan Gallagher coming down the wing and firing from the top of the circles. It's usually a save from the goalie, versus when you have a Kucherov or a Palat, they might go top shelf. Like, I think it's like two goals I saw in his whole career that Brendan Gallagher scored on a shot. You know, he's a guy that'll produce, but it's a different type of production. And I think the system that Therrien puts in place because of the roster he has.
Sean, always great to talk to you, man. Sounds like Habs fans are excited about their blue line, but concerned about their offense.
Yeah, they're happy Jeff Petrie's there. And you know what? His move to Montreal was a smart one, because he probably earned an extra $17 million. Extra 2 years, an extra $1.5 million per year just since the trade from Edmonton.
That's been a good deal for him, for sure. And he actually got some playoff games, so that's a welcome change.
There you go.
Appreciate it, Sean. Sean Campbell from TSN 690 in Montreal.